All right, hey everybody, this is Hank Alexander, Midnight Ride with Steve Storer.
Hi, everyone.
From around the corner. We're here at Biddy Early's pub on Pearl Street in Boston. It's a pretty cool place. Recording lunch break number two. And today's topic really is just we're going to take a look at the Revolution lineup over the last few weeks and see what Steve Nichols is doing. For me, the real sticking point here is the lack of goals being scored. You know, went to a five-man midfield out of desperation because the midfield was so weak. But have we lost that attacking prowess at the cost of going to maintaining possession in the midfield? So, you know, we'll take a look at the lineup over the last couple of weeks. I mean, the last time we saw any kind of offense that yielded any kind of result, we didn't really get a result out of it, but we got Zach Boggs scored two goals in the Columbus match a few weeks ago, and we haven't seen a goal scored since. So, for me, that's the real question right now.
As an aside, and I'm kind of glad we are recording this because I was a little incredulous, Baldomero Toledo was refereeing that match, right? And that was the match where he couldn't find his yellow card.
Right.
Just never comes up at MLS HQ of why he still has a job.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We got to take a look at the referees for later lunch break podcast. Salazar as well is another exception there.
Those two are horrible.
But you can look at that. So you go back and look at where the goals have been coming from. Really, Kelly Dubé in an assist-making role hasn't yet put a goal in the back of the net. And it's just not looking good for the Revs right now, and with Kelly Dubé being the sole forward, if you will. I think maybe there's a little bit too much pressure being put on Marko Perović to assume that attacking midfielder role. Maybe he's not quite comfortable in that role yet. But, you know, we've only seen one goal out of him. It was off of a free kick, and every other free kick we've seen from him since has been questionable. I mean, there's only been a couple of real quality. I think maybe he's taking too much on himself, but you know, I'll turn it over to Steve to get some input. You know, his initial thoughts are on.
Well, initially I would be thinking, you know, why are we not starting Zach? Where is Shalosky? He has scored more goals than anybody else on the team at this point. Granted, he scored three of them in one game, which you kind of start getting into the Kelly Dubé of last year issue. But I mean, you can't not start your leading scorer. You can't do it. And consistently, too. It's not as if Steve's given him a rest. He's legitimately seems to think it's better to pull him off the bench. And I don't think either of us have ever seen Zach Shalosky make an impact off the bench. It hasn't happened yet. I don't think it will happen this season. He needs to start. I mean, it's all well and good to run a one man up front and have Kelly Dubé trying to create chances for everyone else, but no one else is finishing. Literally, the only person who's not a striker who has scored for us so far, there's been two, Perović off the free kick, and Saint Ignacy off of luck, blind luck and chasing down the play.
Right.
I mean, we're going to have to go back to the two men up front, which is good because we have Shaoury back now, so we could probably handle that. I'm interested to see what a Shaoury-Perović central midfield lineup would look like. I'd really like to see Stevie try that out, even though I think he's going to, for some reason, keep Miyuki in because he just seems to love him and ship Perović out to the left side. But that should probably help, because keep in mind we did have our three-goal explosion with Shaoury in the lineup. But, I mean, honestly, we're looking for offensive spark. We never really had it. That was the only game where I feel like we were consistently creating chances and looking good on the ball. Even when Kenny scored two against DC, that was more down to the first one was a lucky break for him. The second one was individual brilliance.
Agreed.
I don't see not starting Zach as the answer.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that you need to have Shalot. You need to at least have two forwards in. And Zach is by far, you know, been the, you know, he's the leading goal scorer. He's got the most cred to his name right now as far as available options, you know. So I think you start him, and I think you partner him with Dubé, for me. They seem to have some initial chemistry working earlier in the season, and to stifle that, you know, at the cost of an extra midfielder. You know, granted, that extra midfielder worked really well in Columbus, and you know, and it worked again in San Jose when we played San Jose. But we didn't score any goals against San Jose. You know, the Revs did well in the midfield and kept a clean sheet, which was important, and that was a valuable step. Then we saw the five-man midfield in Toronto last week, and you know, defensive lapse off of a corner kick, and Toronto goes ahead 1-0, and that was the only score of the game. So, I mean, it's clear that the five-man midfield is pretty much neutralizing the attack, except, you know, you have to take into account that both Julian de Guzman and Dwayne De Rosario were out of that lineup, and just got to make sure that going forward we're not losing offense at the sake of keeping a clean sheet.
It gives me the feeling that we're not playing to win, we're playing not to lose.
Right now, I agree. I think that's right.
And I mean, yes, we're missing some of our best weapons. We were missing Chowdhury for a while. We're missing Taylor Twellman, but just you can't play like that because you will lose.
Yep.
It's the same way, like to go back to American football. A lot of coaches will tell you, you know, if you're a close game and you know the team's got a pass, you go into a prevent defense at the end of the game. And a lot of coaches who are good at their jobs will tell you prevent prevents you from winning games. Because
yep.
You're playing not to lose. You're playing not to concede instead of playing to win.
Right.
You can't win games by not playing to win. It's just not. It doesn't happen that way.
Yep.
And
maybe Steve Nichols counting on on scoring goals off the counter, which we haven't seen a lot of yet. You know, we haven't seen any really.
Our pace comes from Sané and Niasse. I mean, Dubé's fast, but not that fast. Nobody else really approaches their pace anywhere else in the team. You need at least two or three guys that are going to be able to break really, really quick, right off the counter if you're going to play that kind of game, and we don't have that.
Right.
Well, at least not that I've seen.
Nope. I think the closest, you know, I haven't seen in a foot race lately, but I think probably the closest person in speed is Kevin Alston.
Right.
You know, he plays right behind him, so...
You can't break the counter with a right back and a right midfielder.
No,
can't do it.
It's not going to do it. And we really need to have another option there. Maybe it's moving Perovic out to the left of the midfield and, you know, having him, you know, get the ball from Chowdhury and then feed it across to Niasse on the right wing, and then having somebody like Dubé or Chalosky on the end of the cross, that might help. But I think you definitely need to have the two in there, and which comes back to the whole point is, you know, with the one person there just pressuring, it's not going to be enough. I mean, we saw in the Toronto game what happens when these teams pressure weak defenses. You got two goals off of mistakes made by the defense
in yep.
Toronto, and then one off of Dallas. And if, you know, we didn't have two people go out in that game against Dallas, I think we probably would have won that game.
Absolutely.
It was just unfortunate for everybody, especially for Kelly Dubé and Zach Chalosky, who was left to hold up the front all by himself. So
I'm not even sure that Dubé foul was really a foul.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got New York coming up this weekend, and you're looking at potentially another go with a five-man midfield unless... You know, ideally for me, I think you would see Chalosky up top with Dubé, and then I'm inclined to put Perovic on the left, and I don't think Darius Barnes or Osei is going to be ready, so you have to keep Pat Palin in the back. So you have Chowdhury Joseph playing a defensive midfielder, and you've got Sané Niasse on the right, so you need to have that third option in the middle. For me, it's either Chris Tierney, who kind of played that role against Columbus and did okay. But then the other option that may be a good option is Zach Boggs in kind of an attacking midfielder role, because he's forward/midfielder, you know, according to his roster biography there. And we've seen that he can score from, you know, getting himself into some advantageous positions. I'm thinking that Boggs might be an option there for Stevie Nichol. And maybe too little defense for his liking. It's kind of my impression of Stevie this year is that he's always had the two-man midfield for as long as I can remember, the last 5 years or so. And two-man, you know,
defensive tandem.
And, you know, moving away from that's going to be like pulling teeth. Taking away his firstborn or whatever. But I'm thinking that that's probably the way to go. And then you have your four-man back line of Sinovic, Gibbs, Phelan, and Alston.
See, I don't... I don't like Boggs in the midfield, and I don't like Dubé up front anymore. I think Dubé and Chalosky did have an understanding. I think that was a few weeks ago. Dubé is not... He's not set up anybody else. He's not looked like he's threatening to set up anybody else or creating any space. I think you take a gamble, you put Chalosky and Boggs up top together. Boggs is a forward midfielder. He can fill that Pat Noonan, that Adam Crisman kind of role where he's able to drop off of Chalosky a little bit, make the space, give Chalosky the space to get something done, to link up with midfield, but he's still a forward. He's still... I look at Boggs and I see a guy who is good on the ball, who can create and score, but wants to score. You know what I mean? He wants to be in the attacking third and stay there. Put him at forward. Put him up with striker with Chalosky. Let him drift off a little bit, give him a little bit more of a free roll. Keep Perovic and Joseph in the middle together, because I want to see them both running the midfield together. I'd like to see Joseph with the ability to stay back, hang, get the ball, and distribute. I don't want to see him have to take responsibilities going forward. He's good enough to do it, but I'd rather see him simplify. Perovic can take it forward. I like Tierney on the left, and I like Nasi on the right. You can't argue with that. And the back four you listed sounds good. I like that 4-4-2, giving Boggs a license to drift back, and maybe playing the hole a little bit as much as he plays up front, as sort of a second striker instead of as a straight-up forward or as a straight-up midfielder. It was kicking around in my head for a while. I know that they're both rookies, but I really think that Boggs and Chalosky are both ready. And honestly, what do we have to lose at this point?
Right.
We haven't done any better with our other lineups so far.
Nope. And I agree. And I think, you know, this 4-5-1 is really just kind of a fallback crutch for Nicol in a way. And that this is something that he reverted to a couple years ago when, you know, we started losing. We've lost Teodor Twellman. We've lost Shaury Joseph for extended periods of time. You know, due to injury or whatever, and then he would always seem to go with a five-man midfield, play, you know, Steve Ralston in an attacking midfielder role, and that's where the goals were coming from. But when Ralston went out, without Ralston, without Twellman, you really just weren't getting any offense at all, and I kind of see that right now. And so, for me, I think you need to have the extra forward up front. I think we're both agreed on that. And the question is just who that person is going to be. So that's an interesting point about Zach Boggs playing up with Zach Chalosky, the Zach and Zach attack, if you will. And I think that that could actually work. That's an excellent idea. We'll make sure that we send that on to Steve so that he gets that memo. But the you know, looking at the other thing you have to think about is who we're playing this weekend. And New York is a team that's been leaking goals in the last... they're second in the East, but they have a -3 goal differential.
They're also on a 3-game skid right now.
Yeah, and they are definitely leaking goals. Their defense looks shaky. You've got to take advantage of that. And you know, how are you going to do that? Are you going to do that by putting 5 men in the midfield? I don't think so.
No.
You know, and you know, unless they're going to go with a 3-man back line, which I don't think they're going to do. And it's just not something that... You know, I think either of us wanted them to do it this time.
The MLS has evolved past the 3-man back line.
Yeah.
It's no longer viable. You have to put it to bed, and I don't know anybody that hasn't at this point.
Right.
But
the only thing that I could possibly see them doing with a 5-man midfield with a 3-man back line is move. And you're not going to do it with Pat Phelan in the lineup, so let's forget it. It's not going to be there. But with a healthy... back line of Barnes and Gibbs and Sinovic, or maybe even Ose instead of Barnes, maybe you see them go to a 3-man back line. You can move Kevin Alston in defensive midfielder with Shaury Joseph. That might be something I would be willing to see him try.
I wouldn't, just because I think it takes away Alston's greatest assets, which are his speed and his ability to attack down the right.
Yep.
If you're going to do that, I could see them trying to put Ose maybe in defensive mid, which I think he can do it, but I think that's still pulling him out of his element.
Yep. Yep.
Ose or Gibbs, because Gibbs is the experience and the savvy, but I again, he's a center back or a left back. He's not a... I don't want to see them pull anybody else out of positions that they're not used to playing at this point. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
And I especially not Alston, who you take away everything that makes him an asset to us by putting him there.
Exactly, and that's why a 4-man back line actually works. And I was commenting this last night with some other people on around the league. You know, when you have guys with the speed and even Sestanovic's got a little bit of speed on him, which is nice, and he likes to get forward. So if they get Sinovic and Alston kind of alternating and making those forward runs, you know, that's kind of like having an extra midfielder there already. So why do you need a 5-man midfield? It's not, you're not getting anything out of it. So move away from the five-man midfield and let those two contribute from the back line, and then you can get the extra goal scorer up front, which is what they desperately need. And I think, you know, maybe, I think that the five-man midfield is killing the Reds right now, and I think it's stifling the attack, so to speak. If we had Michael Parker's back in there, maybe it would be still an option. But like you said, MLS has adapted.
And when we did have a three-man back line of, you know, Heath, Avery John, and Michael Parkhurst, I might be a little bit more secure in going back to the three-man back line.
Yeah.
You know, those are, Parkhurst is as solid as they come. Heath's, you know, you're going to get a good performance out of him, or at least the best effort.
Yeah.
And Avery John was, I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but he wasn't poor either.
Yeah, but you also had guys like, you had a healthy Joey Franchino at that time. You had a healthy Steve Ralston at that time.
Up-and-coming Jeff Aronowitz,
plus a healthy Taylor Twellman and Pat Noonan, guys that can both hold the ball up in the forward line. I mean, those were the heydays for the Revolution, and the Revs just don't have that kind of quality right now. Sad to say that, but it's absolutely true. And you look at the team that they've got, and maybe in a couple years they can develop some of these guys. I mean, I think Zach Schalowski's obviously got the potential to be, you know, a top-notch striker in this league, and maybe he's the up-and-coming Taylor Twellman, maybe not, who knows. I mean, I think it would be great if we could see Taylor come back and work with him and see how they pair up together. But you know, and rumors are starting to circulate about when Taylor's coming back and all that stuff.
Do you want more drinks, or you guys?
I think we're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yes, thanks very much.
No problem.
So,
cameo from the bartender.
Yep, there she is, giving us the check. So anyway, we got about 10 minutes left before we have to head back to work. So, I'm looking at, this lineup this weekend. We've already said it. Two men in the front. What else can we say about the lineup? But you know, the last few weeks we've seen a lot of players come in and out. We've seen them have to shuffle the lineup. Got guys like Chris Tierney playing, you know, to center back in the Open Cup game.
Yeah.
You've got Pat Phelan, who's, you know, looked okay at center back. He had a great game against San Jose and not so great game against Toronto. It wasn't bad against Toronto. It's just that he missed that mark on the set piece, which led to the goal. So you got to look at that. But then, you know, you look at guys like, you know, Marko Perović, who had to really, really, really struggle to contribute to the offense. And I think he's been challenged by Steve Nichol to kind of step it up and start moving forward more, stop coming back so much to win the ball. I think it was hard for him because there was nobody there to give him the ball.
There's no service. But with Joseph back then, that changes.
Yes.
Because Shaori can, not only can he win the ball, he can hold the ball, and then he can distribute it. He's the kind of guy who knows how to make the little turn, create his own space, play that quick ball that's going to get into a dangerous position.
Right.
You know, he's not going to do what a lot of the other guys do, which is either play the safe backward or sideways pass, or try to play the killer ball that gets cut out, you know, 90% of the time.
Yep.
He's going to look for the good pass. He is probably the best defensive midfielder that's ever played in the game, in the MLS.
Absolutely.
And we have some good ones now, but I don't see anybody. I've never seen anybody better.
No, I'd go as far as say he's probably the best all-around player that I've seen in MLS. I mean, from in the last 10 years, by far. I mean, I can't think of another person that can play every other position. Then, you know, I think if you put a pair of goalie mitts on him, he'd step in between the posts.
If he's not the best, he's up there. I know he's definitely. I don't know if he's the best in the last 10 years, but he'd definitely enter anybody's conversation.
All around player can, you know, get forward, get involved in the attack, and win balls in defense, and contribute on the back line as well. I just, you know, you look at that as an invaluable asset. And I said it, you know, the other night on Midnight Ride, you know, getting him back now is almost like signing a designated player.
Yep.
You know, he's that good. He's that important to this team. But he's that good. He's that missing cog that this whole team is just going to revolve around. that's just part of the team chemistry, but he also brings that level of quality of the whole team up tenfold, I think, and, you know, with the guy of his caliber in there. So it's almost like you're signing, you know, a midfield general out of England. You know, it's somebody who can come in and just boss the whole game. And it's as close to as a designated player signing as we're going to get this season, I think, out of the Revolution.
I think it's as close to a designated player signing as we're going to get in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we're going to call this one short because we got called out at work last time. We were running over late a little bit. But this is a quick Down and Dirty podcast. If you like it, let us know.
No, take your time. I tell and, you how to count up the...
No, not yet. All right. Now the waitress, I think, wants us to get out of here. But we've got... just going to wrap this up and sign off. We'll say check us out on... Midnight Ride Podcast. Obviously, if you listen to this, you're listening to the Midnight Ride Podcast, we hope. And I got nothing else to add.
I mean, don't forget to read the corner store at
Revs ASN. We'll get another one of those up soon.
I'm writing at All Things Footy, too, for Kevin McCauley, atfooty.com.
Nice.
I just put up my World Cup Group F preview. He gets on my ass because I don't ever submit anything on time, but, you know, when it's there, it's there, and I'm... check it out.
awesome. So, all right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll check in with you hopefully next week sometime. Cheers. Yep.